Those settlers, I don't like them. I watched a documentary last night on Louis Theroux. He went back after the October 7th thing and went into like the settlements and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was this lady, Daniela Weiss. She's like the godmother of like the settler movement. And this lady's crazy. She was saying that she's like had a hand in like every one of the settlements, and now she wants to bring it into Gaza and start doing like settlements in there. That lady's nuts.
Yeah, not surprising. I think I was typing in DGG chat after we went to the first deep settlement we went to. It was when we were with Yishai Fleischer. It was the first time we went to one of these to speak to like a Jewish person. And I think that's when me and Lonerbox came away, or at least for I think I was writing in chat for this shit is fucked and will never be solved, because these people are crazy. And they were like, these were Americans that had moved out here too. So
yes, yeah was, there were a lot of those too.
Crazy.
Like they believe like it is their,
they have like a religious
right
divine
to
duty
there.
To be out there. Yeah, and they're there to save their country, and they have to build a family out there, and they have to ban the territory and everything. Yeah.
Whew. And they're all walking around with fucking massive guns too.
Yeah, they all have AK-40s or M4s or AR-15s or whatever, and they're keeping.
But what's
yeah.
so sad is like it seems like the IDF's out there just to like kind of bully the Palestinians who are out there. I don't know, they're there to quote-unquote protect the settlers, but it seems like they're just used I don't know, for evil the whole fucking time.
The IDF gets a bad rap basically from mm-hmm. all sides, although it might have changed as of recently, like over the past, since October 7th at least, that maybe the IDF is more pro-settler than not. In the years after 2000, after the Second Intifada, when the IDF goes into the West Bank, the IDF was fighting with everybody. If you were an outposter, they'll tell you to tear your shit down and they'll kick you out and they'll tell you to get the fuck out. If Palestinians and Israelis are fighting, you know, they try to separate them. If there's like a... people will say that the IDF was trying to prevent press from going into the West Bank because they didn't want them to see the atrocities. The reality is that the IDF knows that if some retarded Western journalist, you know, stumbles into Jenin and has no idea what's going on and is like taken hostage or some shit, they're going to have to go in. People are going to die. It's going to be an international incident. They just prefer that no tourists like go to some of the sketchier places in Area A of the kind of Palestinian villages or cities in the West Bank. But mm-hmm. I think generally both sides were pretty anti-IDF, like the outposters and settlers, the deep settler people didn't like them there. Yeah, because the IDF doesn't like them stirring up shit. But it might be that as of recently, I've heard that as a matter of policy, the IDF has gotten more friendly towards the idea or concept of settlers or outposts. It's a really hard one to know without doing a lot of research on that, though, because you can always find examples of people that are doing dumb shit or that are more sympathetic towards one side than they should be or whatever. So, yeah. Like, yeah, for instance, Sharon, like two huge examples. So under Sharon, right, he was like the conservative prime minister during the Second Intifada. He ordered the full, they call it disengagement. But that's basically when they took every single Jewish person out of the Gaza Strip. That was at the IDF had to do that. That was by force. There are Jewish people like crying outside their homes as they were all getting ripped out of their homes and forced to leave.
But it seems like they needed to be kicked the fuck out of there.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. And then under Sharon's leadership, during the Second Intifada and like a little bit after, although Sharon, I think, struck out and was replaced in 2005 or 2006, there was this accusation that there was support from the Israeli government and expanding settlements in the West Bank that the Israeli government used to deny. But then there was a big, I wish I could remember this late, I have it in my notes somewhere, but there was a big investigation, like, was the Israeli government like secretly funneling money or doing things to help like West Bank settlers and outpost people, like the deep settlers and the outpost people. And the findings were weird because it came back that despite what the government was saying, there was support from people in the government helping people in the West Bank expand their shit. However, that support was like covert and it was done in opposition to what the government policy was. So there would be like, the policy was like, we're not helping these people. They're crazy. It's hurting Israel or whatever. But then there were a lot of like high level officials and stuff who were like, oh yeah, of course, we would never do that. Haha. And then they were trying to help people or were successful in like funneling resources, money, or having people turn the other eye on shit going on in the West Bank. So there's that. There's always been like this huge internal struggle in Israel over what do we do with the West Bank? Is this, do we have like a messianic obligation to, you know, re-inhabit the lands of Judea and Samaria, or is this like, you know, going to destroy our country? And as time has gone on, I think more and more and more, like, the settler people are kind of winning out, you know.
Yeah, in the video is like the Daniela lady, Louis asks her, like, can you, like, you say like you have so much influence, like, can you call like Netanyahu? And then she's like, well, I can call his aides, like, if I wanted to, like, right now. But then they go on to talk about, like, and he's like, well, does, like, Netanyahu, do they support it? And she's like, of course they support it. They just can't say that they support it. But, like, they love what we're doing. We're giving, like, the government an excuse, like, in the future. Like, we're going out there and we're, like, creating the path for them to finally have, like, the means slash the will to, like, go out there and actually, like, do it. So I don't know. It just seemed
not good.
Pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. She could be exaggerating or she could be honest. It's hard to know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Based on what I've heard of like the current government, that sounds more true than not true. That the current government would favor more expansion into the West Bank formally.
I don't know. In the video, too, it seems like the outposts, they're not like tearing them down. They're just like letting them exist, which it seems contradictory to kind of what you were saying. But like, again, you were saying it could have changed, times could have changed, et cetera. But that seems like the really bad thing is the outposts, they're going, just random fucking people starting them. They're existing. And then nobody's like doing anything about it. They're just letting them.
Well, it depends on how far along the outpost is. Like I said, it could have changed recently, though. The way that it works is that like in the past, if the IDF catches you like trying to establish some shit or whatever and you don't have much there, then they'll make you tear it all down and they kick you the fuck out, or they just kick the Jewish people out and then the Palestinians will come and clear it all out. But if you can set up enough stuff, if especially if you have like, you know, some people living there, like you've got like a trailer or some shit, well now like the IDF can't like kick you out without it being a huge fucking thing, and they know that as long as they get enough of a foothold that they can start building more and more and more, and then at some point this is just going to become another settlement now because the Palestinians can't come in and fight you because the IDF will be called and ultimately they will defend the Jewish people there over the Palestinians, and so you just end up in a fucky situation. Yeah, but I don't remember where I read it, but I thought I heard over the past like 3 years especially that Netanyahu has been a lot more explicitly favorable to the people that are pushing deeper and deeper into the West Bank. So it could be that they've changed some of their policy on that, or they're looking the other way a lot more on it.
Apparently settlements are illegal under international law.
That's a really complicated. People like to say that and it's like strictly true. This is one of those things where both sides like to see it their own way. So here's the issue, okay, is that if I am fighting a war and I'm occupying a part of your country, I can't settle people in there. That's a violation of international law. You can't do that because I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Am I conquering your territory, right? So if we fought a war with Mexico, we took over some parts of Mexico, we can't start moving in American citizens. It's illegal. You can't do that. So under that framing of international law, if these are, and Israel calls them the occupied territory, well, depending on how far right you are, call them the occupied territories. Well, if they're occupied, well, then how can you settle people down in there? It seems like you're settling soldiers and civilians down in occupied territory. So that would be a violation of international law. So the way that Israel skirts this is Israel says, well, Palestine was not a country, which is technically true. They're not really occupying land in a military sense from like a foreign power. Therefore, it's not really an occupation that they can't settle people into. This is kind of their territory. But then the hard part is that if they want to make that argument, then you have to go to the, well, how is this not then apartheid? Because it sounds like you have, or maybe not apartheid, but at the very least, you have like 4 million people that are living in lands that you say is part of your country, but none of them have democratic rights. Well, what's going on there? But then Israel tries to make the argument, well, they're not really like our people. It's kind of like a separate thing that we're trying to get worked out. And it's like, well, okay, well, if it's a separate thing you're trying to get worked out, then how can you settle people there in an occupied territory? So it's like this dance. The reality is that like nobody's occupied territory for 100 years, right? So it's mm-hmm. like there's no, yeah, it's just a weird, everything about it is just very unique. There's not like a record of like two people disputing the same land but then living there for 80 years together, basically. Yeah.
So what it is it's fucked.
Yeah. It's kind of fucked.
Yeah, that shit's fucked.
The issue is that both of them need to reach some kind of agreement on a two-state solution. But one, nobody there wants a two-state solution. And then two, both of them would have to be willing to give things that the other side is probably not willing to even budge on. And then three, both sides are fully incentivized to continue fighting indefinitely. Palestinians feel like they never have real political losses because they can always say, well, they're in violation of international law. We should go back to the 67 borders, you know, fuck all of this bullshit. And then Israel says, okay, yeah, I guess maybe we're violating laws. I don't know, but we're getting more and more people. The West Bank is becoming more and more ours, and the Palestinians are getting more and more fucked materially. So
would it be a lot easier if Israel wanted Gaza and they got it, and then all the Gazans just moved to like the right, or Israel got the West Bank and then everybody just moved to Gaza? Would that make it easier because then you could have like clearer borders versus now the Palestinian people are split up in like two different sections of that area?
Maybe. I don't know. I actually don't know how the Palestinians feel about Gaza. Like, if they actually give that much of a fuck about Gaza itself versus just having some kind of state. But like, I don't think they would agree to anything without some kind of like deal in place. Like, you have to have something in place.
Mm-hmm. Because it seems like it'd be a lot cleaner if everybody moved out of Gaza and went to like the West Bank and like created like a Palestine there. The borders would make a lot more sense. It wouldn't be divided.
Yeah, it could be cleaner. However, the Israelis would never want to give up the West Bank because for Israel, Gaza doesn't really mean anything, and it's whatever. They've already got ports and shit. They like, it's not like they need Gaza strategically or religiously. Yeah. But the West Bank is like right-winger Zionists, you can always tell, they're always dog whistles to tell what people think about Israel. Whenever you hear somebody say, whenever you're talking to a far-right like Israeli person, they'll never call it the West Bank. They always call it Judea and Samaria. They'll always say that, and for those
people, that's what they all kept saying in the documentary.
They would never, moving more Palestinians into those lands would be like, they would, they'd kill themselves.
But there's so many fucking Palestinians in there right now. Like, that is like, I don't know.
Yeah, pretty really inconvenient
retarded.
For them.
It seems really retarded. Especially, like, the walking around, like, the cities that they have and, like, the IDFs in there, like, creating, like, checkpoints and shit. Like, it just seems really, really, really retarded.
Yeah, so the cities themselves, I think, are run okay. The Palestinians, some of them don't like the idea that, like, the IDF can come in at the behest of the Palestinian Authority to clean up stuff. The bit, when you talk about checkpoints, the big issue with checkpoints is that, like, there's two different kinds of checkpoints. So one is the one is that getting into Israel from a Palestinian checkpoint is very, very, very fucking annoying. It's like, it could be 2 or 3 hours that you have to wait to get into Israel from the West Bank. It's just, I don't know why. It's just really, really fucking obnoxious. However, I think this was after the Second Intifada, or maybe it was after October 7th. I don't know how long they've been there. There are so many checkpoints. So you have Area A. This is area that is completely under Palestinian control. But then the areas that link Area A is called Area B. And then Area C is that is the area that Israel is still allowed to occupy. I think there are a lot of checkpoints that are set up at like Area B now, where if you want to go from one Palestinian city to the other, you've got to go through these Israeli IDF-run checkpoints for who the fuck knows what reason. But the really annoying thing, so not only do you have to go through these checkpoints, which is like, why? A lot of times these checkpoints are closed. And so if they're closed, like a drive that might have been from Hebron going up to, I don't know, someplace north, like it might be that it was like a 20 or 30 minute drive before, but now you got to drive like 40 minutes out of the way. And it's like an hour drive just because that arbitrary checkpoint, that you're not even sure why it's set up, is closed. And it's just like, I think there were 107 of these like added. I don't remember if this was after the Second Intifada or after October 7th, but it's just like a lot more annoying fucking shit,
Yeah, in the documentary, it wasn't even, like, getting into Israel proper. It was, like, a settle, or it was, like, there was a city where Palestinians were living. There's, like, 30,000 of them there or something. And then they have, like, different checkpoints for different type of people. And then I think an issue in the documentary was they were, the IDF slash the Israelis were moving, like, pretty much day by day to weekly of where the Palestinians could actually like walk through. Like in this area there was like an Israeli like visitor center, and it used to be like the Palestinians could walk to it slash through it slash that road. But then when Louis was there, they were like, oh no, you're Palestinian, you have to get back behind like this line or whatever. And then he walked back there, and then Louis went up to him and he was like, were you just doing that for show, like to show us that you couldn't like walk that way anymore? And he was like, no, that's like new. Like they've created like new boundaries or whatever. so it just seems really retarded that, I don't know.
I would have really to check. The Louis Theroux stuff from what I saw was definitely,
he's way more Palestinian.
And the Palestinians are very good at propaganda. So they will lie about shit and they will exaggerate shit because it works. But also there is like a lot of like bad retarded IDF shit or Israeli shit. So it's hard, sometimes sorting through like what's actually happening or true is like very annoying.
Yeah.
Somebody said, Dustin, you keep saying Israelis will never get the West Bank. We voted for it explicitly in the past, and it can and has to happen again. Most Israelis aren't religious and don't give a shit about the West Bank as long as they feel safe enough to give it up, and they did in the past. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. When did Israel ever vote to give up the West Bank? Number one. Number two, way back in the day, you were talking way, way, way fewer, like 1/7 the amount of people that are in the West Bank now. I have no idea what you mean by Israel is ready to give up the West Bank. I've never heard Netanyahu say anything even remotely close to this. So
I don't know. It seems like these religious extremists would fucking kill him if he wanted to give up the West Bank.
Well, I don't even know if he would want to. With Barack, motherfucker. I don't know what you mean. I just don't know what you're referring to. When you say with Ehud Barak, you mean like at Camp David or top of summit? Even that wasn't fully giving up the West Bank. Most of that was going to be kept via land swaps. But there were, keep in mind also that under Barak, there were, was it 100,000 people? How many Jews lived in, fuck, I should know these numbers. How many Jews lived in the West Bank under Ehud Barak? Lonerbach says Israelis voted for Barak, who ran with a two-state solution campaign. That's true, but I don't know if that meant completely giving up all of the West Bank. But I mean, I think that like there should have been an agreement in 2000. Arafat fucked everything, and now
apparently there's 190,000 to 193,000, and now there's 500,000+ Israelis who live there.
I thought it was 700K plus now. Maybe 200 in the past sounds right, if that's what you said.
Oh yeah, there are. Settlers in the West Bank is generally estimated to be 700K.
Okay.
Approximately 530,000 live in the West Bank, excluding East Jerusalem, including East Jerusalem at 700K.
Gotcha. Netanyahu will never, but he's not the end all of Israeli politics. Barak ran on promoting a two-state solution of the West Bank. Yeah, and right after Barak was the Second Intifada, which I think radicalized a lot of Jewish people living in Israel, understandably so. But like, you've had Netanyahu's been your prime minister for like, what, 20 out of the last 25 years? Like, how are you going to say, I'm not saying he is the end all and be all of Israeli politics, but like, holy fuck.
In the documentary, it made it seem like that the Palestinians are all just super nice people and they're never actually doing any violence towards the settlers, etc. How actually realistic is this?
It's retarded as fuck. But okay. You can tell
so there is
for
like Palestinian violence. Yeah.
Absolutely, of course. This is just this. But again, it's always one sided as fuck. Like the Second Intifada. Like the Second Intifada, in my opinion, it was basically like October 7th. Basically, Palestinians are like, hey, nothing's happening. We're getting increasingly fucked. We feel like nothing is going to change. Oslo's failing. We're not getting our own state. So now we're going to do a big thing. And, you know, we're going to start blowing everybody up. And they kind of did. But like Israel was not playing well with like their West Bank stuff. So, I mean, like they kind of like contributed to the fuck ups, too. There were huge terrorist attacks on both sides. Everything was just fucked. But like this is the big issue that I have with the historical take. Arafat uniquely fucked everybody here, and nobody on the Palestinian side ever wants to acknowledge that they've just, at least prior to Abbas, and even Abbas is questionable, prior to Abbas, Palestinians have not had a good leader to negotiate with for peace. Sorry, but Arafat was just fucking dog shit, and no Palestinian will ever fucking acknowledge that. Arafat fucked the whole, I think the whole Gulf state, all the Gulf states, the whole Arab Muslim world, I think probably looked at Arafat like he was fucking crazy for him to walk away from so many fucking deals over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. He didn't give a fuck about solving anything. And he died in 2002. I think the Palestinian theory is that Mossad secretly gave him AIDS. I'm not joking. They have a lot of crazy theories about shit. But
Jesus Christ.
They also believe that, like, I don't know if it's Hamas or the PA. People theorize that, like, Israel controls all the animals. That, like, they see birds flying and it gets, like, a Mossad bird. Or, like, dolphins or, like, Mossad dolphins. I think Egypt spread this theory when they lost the Six-Day War. That, like, dolphins were carrying torpedoes. It's just retarded as fuck. That, like, every single fucking animal is just...
I think I've actually heard the bird one, yeah.
Yeah. But the Mossad also did some crazy operations. I think it was the Second Intifada. There was a bomb maker. I think it was the Second Intifada where they somehow got, like, explosives or something in this guy's fucking phone. And they managed to trace him and call him. And when he was on the phone with, like, his uncle or dad or something, they made his phone explode. I mean, I don't know.
The
done,
pager
like,
shit is the craziest the thing.
Hezbollah
I've
pager shit is crazy.
Seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they made a profit on it.
Maybe. Yeah. That was pretty. Poison toothpaste. To kill a Palestinian militant lead, Wadi Hadad, secretly, the Mossad switched his toothpaste with an extremely slow-acting poison. He started getting sick and eventually went to Europe for treatment, bringing his toothpaste with him. Nothing was helping him. He died in agony, and it was ruled off as a natural.
I wanted to ask you about qualified immunity. You mentioned earlier that you thought it was very important, or you generally support it. Is that correct?
Yep.
So, apparently, a few states have removed qualified immunity, including Colorado and New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that you can sue either the states or the city and or the officers, in which case, if the plaintiff wins, then the employer of the officer pays out the settlement or the compensation. So, it doesn't, like, personally affect the officers. So, I don't know what's the problem with that.
Can't you already sue police departments and everything for improper conduct? I don't know. That's different than qualified immunity.
So what I read is that there is a thing called sovereign immunity, which combined with qualified immunity can make it so the plaintiff has no recourse for compensation. So because sovereign immunity protects the city and qualified immunity protects the officer.
Okay.
So
I would have to see how it's played out, I guess, in those two cities then to see if it's been a good change or not, I guess.
Yeah. So for New Mexico and Colorado, what I read is that the biggest results is that they have had bigger and more payouts for
violations
of rights. Yeah, for rights violations in lawsuits, and also lawyers would previously refuse to take up civil rights cases because the qualified immunity standard required for them to prove too much to a certain previous case that shows that the right was violated in the same way. And that was really hard for many smaller violations. Now, even smaller violations can be tried, so lawyers are not deterred from taking up these cases.
Okay.
So the effect is that the plaintiffs can get compensations for their rights getting deprived. Employers are now liable directly or through indemnifying the officers, and the bad cops become taxpayer burden. So eventually, the city is more incentivized to get rid of bad cops. This is also
I'm confused. Yeah. Doesn't qualified immunity only protect the officer civilly? Can't you still sue the department and whatnot?
Yeah, but I guess it sounds like in order to sue the department, you still have to overcome the qualified immunity. I guess that is assumed for the cop. So for this, you just no longer have to worry about overcoming some qualified immunity thing. You just sue somebody for what you think they should be civilly liable for. Yeah.
Yes. And also, the qualified immunity test was usually done before discovery and depositions. So you would have to prove that your rights were violated without often having the evidence of your rights getting violated because discovery wasn't completed. It's like a catch-22.
Well, not. It's a high burden, basically. But the whole point of the qualified immunity was to prevent all of the civil litigation that would come about as a result of suing police departments and everything. So if you're already doing all the discovery and everything, you've already gone through most of the monetary cost of it, which is why that was to prevent that, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. My only thing with qualified immunity is we don't have this for any other like profession, like doctors or anything like that, right?
I'm not sure. I think judges have a form of like qualified immunity where you're not allowed to sue a judge for a bad ruling or something.
Oh yeah, they have like judicial immunity or something like that, I think. Yeah.
I'm not sure if anybody else does. I don't know.
Okay.
Wow, Sharon, thank you for the one gift to sub.
Times are tough. We're calling out one.
The other benefits I read that would or effects of removing qualified immunity is that having discovery, depositions, and verdicts provides like a public record against the bad cops. So even if the cops aren't personally liable, it makes it harder for bad cops to find new jobs after they get fired, because there's like a policy of or not policy. It usually happens that bad cops just hop from
like
one police
record.
Department to another.
Yeah.
And the police departments have insurance for these kinds of things, and having more burden for the city when they get sued for stuff like this increases their insurance if they don't fire the cops that abuse their power. It also having verdicts on cases like this, more verdicts, makes it so that the law becomes clearer, like more precedents. So the officers can't say, oh, I didn't know this was violating his right. When right now there aren't many verdicts on, or right now it's much less clear, and they can say that they didn't know and use this as like a reason why they should have.
Sure, but the devil's advocate of that is like, wouldn't you be scared sometimes that cops aren't going to want to take action because they don't want to be sued civilly or liably, you know, for something? So something might happen that's really bad for somebody that they could have prevented, but they're too scared to go and do XYZ because they don't want to get fucked themselves.
Yes, but if there's like a lot of case law about officer conduct, wouldn't it be more clear when you know, or wouldn't the cop know that this case is like justified or not? If his action
it could be, but then you're going to have a long time where cops are going to basically not do XYZ because they're afraid until those case laws are put into precedent. So you're going to have people in theory suffer for many years until things are ruled upon as precedent, and then, yeah. I mean, I think this is the reason for qualified immunity a lot of the times.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, I know both arguments on both sides of it. I'm just not sure how it plays out in practice. I know why qualified immunity exists. I think conceptually it seems like I get it, but I would have to see how it's played out in terms of New Mexico and Colorado. Yeah.
I think the argument that cops would be afraid is sort of mitigated by the fact that the places that have removed qualified immunity have also made it mandatory. Like, part of the law is that the city or the state indemnifies the officers for the damages from the verdict. So the city actually pays, and the and they pay their defense as well. So usually, or 99% of the time, the officer doesn't face any financial burden of their action. So they can still like take risky actions where they feel that they have to protect someone, even if they're not sure about the rights being violated.
Like, get some studies on how it's going in New Mexico and Colorado, and I mean, I'd be interested in reading them.
Okay, and basically, I'll find the studies later, but the overview is that the payouts have increased and more kinds of cases, like even smaller violations, get looked into.
Yeah, I mean,
I think maybe states like this, and I think other states like Montana, I think, had similar changes recently, and Montana and one more, and Nevada have also decreased or limited qualified immunity a lot.
Did the conductor drama get settled?
Oh, which one? There's many.
There was like a 3-hour discussion a day or two ago.
I don't know. I think Bing is thinking about it, like the scheduling stuff. It's kind of difficult because like there's usually two sides to every or there's not a consensus between. Usually it's one person has a big disagreement with how things are run. I won't say who. But yeah,
pizza.
At least from I don't want to shit talk because he's not here to defend himself. So
he's in chat.
He says that I am the reason.
I'm
the
not going to say who. It was pizza.
You said it, not me.
Okay, all right. Well, I look forward to it. If you guys ever want to, you know, come on anything else in the morning and yell at each other, either in voice or in chat, you know, I will gladly host you for some conductor drama.
Sure. I wanted to thank everyone for donating to the DGG Politics pack that we gathered $250,000 and enabled the movie marathon this week. Also, thanks to Bing for providing the incentive and helping organize the marathon.
What about me?
And all the conductors that also took part in the marathon. Oh, and Mr. Mouton for working around us as well. And being...
Yes.
Okay, good
don't,
job.
Don't glaze yourselves too much.
Nice, okay. Have fun, be careful.
All right, thank you, DOT. Okay.
Thanks for the time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Do you want to talk to a Tier 5 or do you want to talk to Shirveen?